Welcome to episode 4 of the Pandemic Tapes. My name is Clint Holly, and I will be your host today. The Pandemic Tapes is brought to you in conjunction with Roots of American Music and the Ohio Arts Council. In March of 2020, the coronavirus swept the world and ended life as we know it. Live music events halted. Restaurants, bars, cafes closed. Social events shut down. Roots of American Music, based in Cleveland, Ohio, had brainstormed a fundraising series called Garage Band Garage Sale, in which Roots of American Music would sell items donated and also hold live in-person music performances. With the advent of the coronavirus, all of these events were canceled. The Ohio Arts Council was gracious enough to allow us to retool this whole program as a podcast. And what we are doing is we're checking in with musicians and seeing how they're maintaining their creativity and what they've been doing since they can't go out and do what they do best, which is go out and play in front of people. Rome has a long history of employing musicians as teaching artists, and these artists go into schools and homes for developmentally disabled adults, and they teach things like songwriting, or they just perform for the enjoyment of the people who can't usually go out and seek out that kind of entertainment on their own. Today, my interview is with Kevin Richards. Currently, he's the executive director and the artistic director of Roots of American Music, hats that he's been juggling for 20 years now. And he sees the light at the end of the tunnel, Rome, as a plan for the future. And he's very excited about that. And Kevin is also a lifelong music fan and musician who plays upwards of 200 gigs per year. So let's sit down today and talk to Kevin and get his perspective on how the coronavirus has impacted him as a musician and through the nonprofit world.
All right. My name's Kevin Richards. I'm the founder and artistic director of Roots of American Music, which was launched in 1999. And today I wear quite a few hats, doing executive director duties as well as artistic duties. And I'm the founder of Roots of American Music. Glad to be on board.
And you've been a musician for a good portion of your life, too. When did you start playing music?
I started playing music in elementary school and middle school, and I played saxophone. And okay. I played saxophone in all the school bands. Most people don't know that I was classically trained, and I didn't touch a guitar until I was in 10th grade. And then I got really interested in Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix and Mamas and Papas and Beatles, and kind of started from there. And eventually discovered Muddy Waters and Robert Johnson and Merle Haggard, and started playing the fiddle and the banjo, the pedal steel and mandolin, and started listening to old-time string band music. So been playing music pretty much my entire life.
When was your first professional? What was your first paying gig? Do you remember that?
I did a job when I was probably 18 years old for some folks that were some adults that had disabilities.
Okay.
And we did a little summer concert, my friend and I. And shortly after that time, I did a restaurant gig with a friend named Huey O'Brien. We played at Au Provence Restaurant on Lee Road in Cleveland Heights. And both those gigs were probably in the same week, and that was the start. And I think I made $10 or $20.
Right. Now,
I was hooked.
Now, going back to that first one you talked about helping some, disabled or challenged adults, that kind of almost lays the groundwork for some of what Roots of American Music does now, right?
That is correct. We've been up and running for 21 years, and in about the fifth, sixth year that the organization was running, we began to expand to serve more people. Up to that point, we'd work with youth and some seniors and some adults, but over the past 15 years, we've expanded the work that's with seniors and adults, but specifically working with organizations that have adults with disabilities. Our teaching artists currently or have been serving 21 visits a month. So
wow.
Let's say someone like Ray Flanagan does two performances a month, and Jack DeLisandro, he takes a visit to two or three. Veteran Jack Mazenko might go to four or five of them.
Right.
I might go to one or two of them. So we average 20 of 21 a month, over 220 a year, and that's come to a grinding halt. So it's been and kind of shocking.
So all of that is off the books right now. And have you guys been doing, have you been doing any of the Rome programming virtually online at all as of yet?
Well, yes, we have. So this is really interesting. This past year, we worked really hard on this program called Blues is the Backbone. Years ago, when the Rock Hall launched, I ran a program called Blues in the Schools for the Rock Hall. And it was for middle schools. It was for seniors, juniors, you know, high school, sometimes colleges. It was an outreach education assembly program. I just began to toy with this idea of, hey, could we convert this blues program, since blues is the roots of so many different styles of today's music, and get it into the hands of youth? And we're talking first grade, second graders, third graders, etc. I worked with Juliana Tabor and Jason Myers, and we created what's called Blues is the Backbone. And it's a literacy, it's a songwriting program, it's a basic 101 intro to music, but it's also an intro to the blues.
Right.
We were thrilled in March. The Foundation World reached out to us, and we found out that three separate foundations had funded this program.
Oh, wow, that's great.
And we were ready to launch this. It kind of the opposite of Stop the Hate. Stop the Hate is high school and middle school in the fall, early winter. We wanted to run this in the spring and early fall.
Right.
So we were all set to go, and you know, it got shut down. However, we began to work with Juliana Tabor's school and a teacher named Patrick Chase, who's the classroom teacher, and he was really great to work with. And we've done about five or six virtual lessons with him.
Oh, great! So that's well down the road already. Then,
well, we jumped on this. You know, I saw this as a priority and an opportunity. We just said, we got to do this, or we're in really big trouble.
Right.
And it's best we got our toes in the water. We got our feet wet now, as opposed to the fall. Since then, the Maltz Museum has been in contact with us, and we've had a couple of Zoom meetings with them. And the Stop the Hate program, which we've run for 11 years, they have every intention to do year 12. And we had a meeting again last week with the Rock Hall and also the Maltz. And so they have viewed this digital program. So, you know, we don't know exactly what will happen in the fall with Cleveland schools, but we're prepared.
Before the coronavirus, how many gigs a month were you usually playing?
You know, if you include a classroom visit and you also include a senior visit, and then you go out to a coffee shop and then a nightclub, et cetera, you know, it's 200 a year.
Wow.
Or something like that.
Right.
You know, when you know, sometimes it's two and three a day, and sometimes there's, you don't do anything for 4 or 5 days, but
right.
I haven't played a gig since March 11th.
When was your last haircut?
March 11th. and for me, you know, obviously we're talking about income and people hurting, and you know, that hurts their cash flow. But for me, more important, I don't sit around the house and practice. What I love to do is get in front of people and just start engaging and
right.
entertaining. And I love that. And then I love to be, you know, kind of down in the trenches. Let's say I'm working with Ray DeForest, and it's just a thrill to play music with someone like him, where we just kind of partner and go back and forth, and he fires me up and inspires me and brings out the best of me. And I really miss working with other musicians.
I bet. Right.
It's just really tough for me to sit at home and not play gigs.
Have you done anything else virtually online? Have you done any streaming performances or anything like that?
I did one for a friend of mine named my buddy Vic Robbins, who lives out in Utah. A week after things shut down, he said, hey, I want you to do a concert for my friends. And he created a Zoom concert, and he invited about 20 of his friends. And that was the first one I did.
Oh, cool.
And that was cool. And somebody had me do a little house concert on a porch. Ray DeForest and I did something where we stood on a porch, and people showed up with their picnic baskets and their cold beverages and their lawn chairs. And we did a little outdoor on the porch concert. So that's pretty much, that's it. That's about the only things that I've done.
Wow.
As far as writing songs, though, I did a lot of virtual, you know, type of things, collaborating with various musicians, and wrote three songs in the past couple of months, you know, trying to use some of the digital tools to help facilitate that.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that, because you were doing something that I think some of the people that we've listened to songs from already they haven't done that. You've actually built songs virtually by bouncing tracks back and forth across the United States. One guy records something and then somebody layers something on top of it, brings it back. So tell us a little bit about that process. And sure. You know, if you want to talk about any of the songs, particularly how they came together, you know, that would be great.
Well, I'm not a big software guy. I'm not a tech person. You know, Clint, you are, and Dave Polster and Brian Straw and Jim Stewart. And I just as soon hired you guys to do it because you guys are great.
Right.
And then I can focus on other things. But now it's a different world. So I started, you know, thinking about Garage Sale Garage Band. And I thought about this idea about a guy named Jimmy, who was a neighborhood person in my world when I was a kid. He was an alcoholic and he would sleep in the garage. And, you know, that's kind of where that idea came from. So I just wrote this tune really quickly and happened to trade Facebook messages with Dan Bodie. Dan Bodie was living out in Seattle. Dan was the former vocalist with the group Moco Bovo, or still is the vocalist. And he's moving back to Cleveland. Just recently retired as a chemical engineer and a good friend and a great singer and a great harmonica player. And so we just traded these messages and I said, well, I got these ideas. So I sent him a couple files and we did it a couple times. And I simply recorded my song the way I wrote it on my iPhone and just sent him the file. He listened to it. He said, that sounds good. Can you send me an instrumental track? No vocals. So I sent him that. He downloaded it into his computer and he redid the vocal part. Then he overdubbed a harmonica part and he sent it back to me.
Nice.
And we called it Jimmy's in my basement. And, I just thought,
right.
Or Jimmy's in my garage, whatever I called it. I can't even remember. And he sang the daylights out of it. So that's where that one came from.
Jimmy lives in my basement. He got a toothpick in his eye. He cussed at me this morning with my burger and my fries. Twisted my arm behind my back. You owe me some money. He don't care, his clothes are tattered. Does his shopping at Goodwill. Ain't shaved or bathing weeds. At this tavern he'll get its fill. Twitches his nose and gives a glimpse. Where's my drink, you bastard? With his cane, he'll whack your shin as he spits into your face. I'm a veteran of war, I fought for you. He screams to plead his case. I take my Jim Beam straight up for the coins I gave to Judah. His breath is gasoline, slime is a three-toed frog. I kick Sonny Liston's ass. 63, I beat him like a dog. Hurry up with my Boilermaker. Maryland's waiting for me now. Cab at midnight, but he disappeared out the door. Arose from the dead at closing time, kicked his wet ass off the floor. Keep your damn hands off me, I ain't going nowhere. Jimmy, where do you sleep when the night comes to pass? When thoughts of the world consume you at last. When you lay down your drink and there's no place to roam, a garage there on Meadowbrook I call it my home. Jimmy lives where the cars are parked. Fuck off, he screamed. This country owes me a medal. And where's my limousine? As he lay down on his newspaper, fell deep into his drunken dream.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on PressBox Access.
What has been the immediate impact of this on Rome? You've spoken to some of it, to all these programs just kind of grind to a halt. What does that mean then for like the cash flow? What does that mean for how you go out and look for grants for the future? And then as we get closer to a new quote unquote normal, what do you think that normal, you know, looks like for an organization like Rome that depends so much on human contact and interaction?
That's a lot of questions, and I'd like to tell you I have all the answers, and I just don't. Let me start with the Fairmount School of Music started 30 years ago. My wife runs that. That provides one-on-one, face-to-face lessons in Cleveland Heights. We're located on Fairmount Boulevard above the bread shop, and in March, we closed our doors. Probably 50% of our teachers began using digital platforms. Some of them are not using digital platforms and just stopped teaching.
Right.
Recently, a couple of them are trying to come back and actually teach face-to-face upon request and in a careful situation. But that particular revenue stream is probably cut in half. And, can we survive, short-term? Certainly. But, if this happens, goes on for a year or two, it's just like a restaurant closing. It's what you do. That's what's going on at Fairmount School of Music. It roots of American music, like all our many of our outreach education programs, are just on hold. We're usually gearing up for summer camps right now. We're always involved in a couple summer camps, and those have all been canceled. We're looking at the fall and hoping the schools are going to let us in, but we're not sure. The senior programs are completely shut down.
Right.
But we did adapt, and we created this senior song program based kind of like on our garage sale garage band idea, and we've had some pretty good luck with that. Pandemic Tapes was launched out of garage sale garage band.
Right.
But a second project funded by the Arts Council is called People on the Move, which talks about immigration and migration patterns and refugees and how people came to this country. And it talks about family history where people talk about, their roots. And what's come out of that, People on the Move, is quite a few of our teaching artists have talked to seniors by telephones and by digital platforms and have written and created songs, and they're up on the Roots of American Music website.
Oh, cool.
And it's really cool. And we think this is if you go to the Roots website, you'd click on the People on the Move page, or you could click on the adults senior tab. That's the one, adult seniors. You tap on that and you'll see Bethany Joy, you'll see Alicia, you'll see Ray Flanagan's videos. And we hope to build that out so that we're going to have a bunch of those up there. So we've had to adapt. We've had to, be creative.
That's a great segue into the next question that I was going to ask you've spent a lot of time in venues, restaurants, bars over the last, 30 years of your life. What do you see the impact of the coronavirus on local venues, especially places like, the Beachland, the Happy Dog, Nighttown, those kind of places? What do you think is going to happen, and what kind of loss to the community is going to happen musically and creatively if those places aren't around?
Well, if those places aren't around, that's a huge loss, and I really think it's the responsibility of our community to step up and support these organizations and these clubs and keep them going. I mean, this has been the bread and butter and the places where all of us have been able to perform. And, I'm gonna go to these clubs. I'm going to be socially safe, and, maybe I'll send a donation to them or something. But I think it's really, really important that these places survive. And not all of them will. I mean, it's a crazy world, and some restaurants are going to close, and some coffee shops are going to close, and some nightclubs are going to close. But maybe some other ones will open up too.
Kevin's been very prolific during the whole coronavirus, writing several songs and collaborating with people all across the country, and always trying to find those people that are going to complete his vision for each particular song that he's written. So let's let him set up the next song that we're going to listen to, a collaboration with a Northeast Ohio artist named Charlie Wiener.
But I thought about these people who were passing away at the late stages of the COVID virus, and they're isolated, they're alone, they can't reach out to their family members. And I just thought about how horrible, you know, watching Lester Holt every night on the evening news and hearing about more people dying in hospital beds, and they were totally alone. And so I just started thinking about this this idea for a song based on someone who's on the verge of death, who finally crosses over and embraces the afterworld. And once they cross over, they're free of burden. They're feeling pretty good. And, you know, so I came up with this little melody and this little chorus, and I sent it to Charlie Weiner. And a couple of days later, he sent it back to me, and he wrote a bunch of verses to it. And I think it's really pretty cool. And so I think he called it Jesus, My Friend. And so that's what we have. And, you know, usually when you write this stuff, you go in the recording studio, you do it upright, you do demos, you got everything worked out. And these are all, that's, you know, one step before the demo. There's no keyboard part. There's no upright acoustic bass player. There's, you know, these are done bare minimum type of things, with just overdubs on using iPhones. But it worked. And if we ever get to the other side, I want to go in the recording studio and record these songs, you know, and do them upright.
Well, these are a good representation of the moment, you know, right now, though, too. And I think that's a lot of what the pandemic tapes is trying to show, is like how, although you can't go into that studio right now, how you can still accomplish what you want to do and still be creative with the tools at hand.
I think all of us have to push forward. I mean, this is, you know, a setback, but we got to look at the upside.
Right.
We just got to try stuff and see what works.
I dance one more dance. The song is complete. Keeping time with the heart. Each breath that I breathe. Lonely the sound that surrounds and fills the air. Please take my hand, Jesus, my friend, so I'll know you're there. Memories float in. I'm back in those places. Let the movie begin. Joy in smiling faces. The lonely gets drowned. Sense love all around without care. Please take my hand, Jesus, my friend, so I'll know you're there. Footsteps in the darkness soft. Cool hand on my brow. Whispered words of comfort soothe like sacred vows. Regrets like leaves fly on the breeze. Love recalled, taste so sweet, it's time to leave. I'm coming home now. Wrap now in peace, settling down in my soul. Let me float free. Guess I'm finally whole. The lonely is gone, filled by summer song, as light as the air. Please take my hand, Jesus, my friend, so I'll know you're there.
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, and our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.
My thoughts between now and the end of the year is I'm just going to keep trying stuff.
Right.
I'm just not going to lay idle. I look at when you get knocked down. When I was a kid, I was a gymnast, and when I fell off the rings and I got banged up and landed on the crash pad, my coach would pick me up, say, "You feeling okay?" And I say, "Yeah, I think I'm all right." And he'd say, "Well, get back up on those rings and do that again."
Right.
And it really taught me, in my gymnastic coach taught me that when you fall down and you get hurt, you just got to try and just keep go forward and just try something. And,
right.
And if you try 10 things and one thing works, that's good. And
right.
My message is let's be safe. Let's stop this spread of disease, but let's figure out how these arts organizations are going to survive. We got to have arts. We got to have restaurants. We got to have clubs. We got to have painters and musicians,
right?
Chalk artists, and we got to figure out to support it.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Pandemic Tapes. Usually this is where I bring up the outro music and thank a lot of people. This time I'm going to go out with a third song. Kevin's been amazingly prolific during this time, so I'm going to go out with a final song. They just submitted it as the title 19, co-written by Mark Freeman and sung by Bethany Joy. And, it sounds so sweet. So we'll do three songs in this particular episode and help you get through with some music. So thanks for listening to the Pandemic Tapes. My name is Clint Holly. I am your host. And this is produced in conjunction with Roots of American Music and the Ohio Arts Council. If you are interested in finding out more about Roots of American Music, please go to our website, www.rootsofamericanmusic.org. Click on the GarageBand Garage Sale tab and find some great items for sale and make a donation to Roots of American Music to keep our mission going full steam ahead. So until next time, have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Get off of this island, a new stage I'll play every day. When I get myself off this island, the crowds will flock my way. Oh, nightclubs are coming back when 19 goes away. Get to the other side till the evening is unbound. Sunday morning coffee shops, all the afternoon go rounds. I'll be raking in the dough unless the virus shuts us down. No more naps for breakfast just to get me through the day. I'll crow at the crack of dawn, oh, they'll love to hear me play. I'll write a new one every day if Corona stays away. If I can get off of this island, new stage I'll play every day. Oh, when I get myself off this island, the crowds will flock my. Oh, nightclubs are coming back when 19 goes away. And all the fine musicians whose music is their craft, they'll make a new vocation. We finally got the shaft. Perhaps we'll look for something new, a chance to play for free. We'll call on our creative tools to be all we can be. And when I get off of this island, I'll be rolling in the bread. Just might have to lose it to find it. So right now it's time to share. When I get off, the unknown lies ahead.
Don't you know that you're a grown up?
I'm a grown up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it.
No, right.